It's time to take back control of your life and start making choices based on what your true self and intuition are telling you. Welcome to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. If you are one of the many people that deserve a better life and more fulfillment than what they are living now, the next hour will be enlightening, inspirational, and above all, will provide the direction you need. Now, here is your host, Regina Sisko.
Hello, I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and welcome to my show, Shining Bright, A Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Worth. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the events that happened here in Colorado. I'm sure many of you have heard that there was a shooting last night at a movie theater where 12 people were killed and 50 people were injured. So we're all saying lots and lots of prayers here in Colorado, and please feel free to join in with praying for those who have been affected by this tragedy. And what I wanted to share with you today, and I had already planned, but it's certainly even more appropriate now, is sharing a channeled meditation from Lord Melchizedek on the purpose of peace. So let me share that with you now. I am Lord Melchizedek, who is an ascended master, overseer of the universal level of the Creator's energy. My purpose of connecting with you today is to share some insights and practices which are available to assist your spiritual evolution and ascension on the earth. Within the universal levels of the Creator's universe, represented by a golden color of light, there are many masters and angelic beings that can be of assistance to you, that may call upon to assist you in any way that you feel is appropriate. It is most essential at this time that you adopt a greater experience of peace within your mind. With so many shifts occurring on the earth and within your being, there is a need to create and discover a greater space of stillness and contentment within your mind and thoughts. Peace within your mind can be like a gateway that opens up greater wisdom, understanding, and enlightenment. With change so evident upon the earth and many people worrying over the forthcoming event of magnification on the earth by the Creator, peace is needed as support and strength, and certainly today. If you are able to adopt a mindset that expresses and experiences the vibration of peace, then you will energize and encourage others to let go of doubt, fear, and worry, and instead embrace love and truth on the earth. We are all being asked by the Creator to release the habits of fear, worry, and doubt, and replacing them with inner knowing, love, and empowerment. The magnification process is an experience of empowerment, but in order to truly experience empowerment, there is a need to accept yourself and let go of unneeded energies that no longer serve you. When you adopt a greater sense of peace within your mind, this will imprint upon the minds of others. We are all one united consciousness after all, whether we exist close or far away, on the earth or on the inner planes. During meditation, you may call upon my energies, Lord Melchizedek, asking me to surround you in my high vibrational consciousness and truth. Imagine you are breathing my energy into every pore of your being. Let the light fill your entire being as if it is elevating your energy vibration, allowing you to exist at quicker dimensions of light. Then ask for 8 angels of peace to surround you in a circle of light. I will stand behind you, acting as a central focus for the peaceful energy of the angels. As they connect their light into my being, I will place my energetic hands at the base of your neck, drawing the light of the Creator and my being existing within your heart chakra and into your neck and head. And breathe in. And breathe out. Imagine, sense, or acknowledge a sense of a gentle explosion of light seeping into your mind through your neck area. I will move my hands from your neck to the top of your head, beginning to expand your crown chakra with the light of peace as it flows through my energetic hands. The light of peace will flow into your mind where it will rest gradually, seeping through the many levels of your mind and mental body. And breathe in and breathe out. Imagine as you breathe deeply, this light of peace is flowing from your mind, creating a pyramid of peace around your entire being with the point extending from your crown chakra, which is the top of your head, down below your feet. To focus on peace, you may wish to say, I am peace. You may wish to imagine all the thoughts of negativity, worry, fear, and doubt being washed away as my light flows through your crown chakra and bathes you in the peace of my being and the eight angels of peace. I hope you find this of great benefit with improved peace of your mind and will hold a greater clarity that you will acknowledge, be able to acknowledge your intuition and inspired thoughts of guidance. Peace be with each of you, Lord Melchizedek. And I also wanted to share some theta healing with you today. And theta healing is a spiritual energy healing that I do. And I will share what I call downloads. And these are feelings that you may not have experienced before. So I'm going to be saying a statement. And if you would like to receive this healing energy, you can say yes or no silently to yourself. And I'm also going to include broader statements for humanity today based on the events that occurred earlier today in Colorado. And so I'd like you just to take a deep breath in and slowly breathe out and take another deep breath in and slowly breathe out. And I want you to focus on your breathing, breathing evenly and gently. And I'm just going to move into the theta healing space. It will just take a few seconds here. And the first statement is, I know and humanity knows what it feels like to be loved and appreciating for being just as I am and for who I am. The next one is, I know and humanity knows what it feels like to treat myself and others with kindness and respect. I know and humanity knows what it feels like to be loved by the Creator and the universe, and that no one is ever alone. I know and humanity knows what it feels like to be at peace and harmony within ourselves. And I'd like you to take a deep breath in and breathe out and take another deep breath in and breathe out. And on my show today, my guest is Amara, and the title of my show is Got Faith. And let me tell you a little bit about Amara. She is the owner of the Wisdom Light, an intuitive and healing consulting business that she has owned for 22 years. Her business offerings range from intuitive business consulting, psychic readings, and holistic healing. She is a certified Reiki master and hypnotherapist, to name a few of her talents. Her unique background earmarked her for a special life of sharing her gifts with others. Top ranked by the book 100 Top Psychics in America, Amara specializes in intuitive business consulting. It is also known as an inspiring life coach and entertaining motivational speaker. Whether you are a CEO or a new age seeker, Amara will provide you with amazingly incisive, straight to the heart insight while empowering you to break free of obstacles and discover the gifts of your own experiences. For more information about her services, you can go to her website at www.thewisdomlight.com. Welcome to the show, Amara. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you, Regina, and thanks for having me back. I look forward to my interviews with you.
Thanks so much. So since it's been a little while since you've been on the show, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your background. And I'm not sure we've talked about this, but I'm guessing we probably have. So did you have your intuitive gifts right from the get-go as a child? Were you aware of them at that time?
Yes, I was. But at that time, I wouldn't call them gifts. And this is true for many people, I think, that I've met along the journey that have such gifts. In a world that doesn't honor the intuitive, the unseen, the multidimensional, and doesn't understand how it works, many children that have a high level of intuition or sensitivity are not encouraged to use it. They're constantly told, oh, if you see things, if you feel things, that's just make-believe, or you're exaggerating, or you're too sensitive. Stop being so sensitive. That last was the sentence I often heard growing up. Stop being so sensitive. So I didn't understand it anything as a gift. I just understood it as something that made me different, that made me perhaps not fit in, that gave me a little bit of a sense of isolation from other people, that they didn't understand me, and I sure didn't understand them. It also created a level of frustration because I would see things before they'd happen, or I'd see what other people were thinking or feeling, their motivations, and they weren't necessarily the feelings or the motivations that they expressed socially or to the world. So that was perplexing to me as a child, that people were different socially than their inner feelings or truth. So it was a struggle, and it was a quest, because it certainly sent me on a journey to understand myself and life. Meanwhile, I parallel tracked a very normal, all-American, mainstream, I should say European-American upbringing. My mother's family is Italian Catholic. My father's family is Danish-Irish Catholic. I was raised as a Catholic, went to Catholic schools the formative years. I was taught that if you're an intelligent person, you go on to a profession and you value education. And I kind of followed a very mainstream path according to what I was directed, guided, taught to do.
Okay. Amara, it's time for us to take a break. So we're going to pick up your story when we come back.
Great.
I'm speaking to Amara, a Reiki master, psychic, and intuitive counselor, who is going to be telling us about faith and how it can be useful in our life. You can learn more about her services by going to www.thewisdomlight.com. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's 7th Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and I'm speaking with Amara, Reiki master and psychic, who is sharing her perspective on faith. Is it real or not? And I also wanted to let you know that Amara is offering a 10% discount to all of my listeners for one of her psychic consultations, which I recommend. I've worked with Amara for many, many years now. So, Amara, before we went to break, you were talking about your background in that you evolved into a very mainstream life growing up with your family, where you went to school, and tell us more about that.
Right. So I kind of followed a mainstream path. I got a blue chip education at Northwestern University and l'Institut d'études politiques in Paris, France, and excellent schools growing up. I joined the corporate world and blue chip corporations and did very well in it. I had more creative hobbies, but this aspect of myself was a separate world. It was a world that I wondered about and explored when I'd go off for walks in the woods and exploring old ruins and imagining the people that would live there and actually being able to see events that happened there. And I would study topics of spiritual or metaphysical development as a way to help understand the world that I perceived that wasn't taught to me in all that mainstream living. But eventually, I had a chance to break the golden handcuffs, and I also, just prior to this time, I really felt like I needed to get in control of what feelings and intuitions I received. I didn't like having random prophecies and visions, and I didn't like being able to just feel what other people were feeling. So I decided to get in control of it instead of it being in control of me. And that was really the beginning of my journey toward integrating that aspect of myself and then eventually bringing it to the world when I was somewhat written off by the medical profession from an injury, and that was unacceptable to me at the age of 30, to be told by an orthopedic surgeon to write my life off and live on pain pills, from which I'd eventually need a liver transplant, and at which point I'd finally be in a wheelchair. I said, thank you very much, but no thank you. So when the mainstream doesn't give you the answers or the solutions you want, can't help you, it challenges us to seek alternatives. It challenges us to go within ourselves. It challenges us to seek wisdom and to find what heals ourselves. So for me, it became metaphysician heal thyself. And I firmly believe it was God, the universe, the intelligent cosmos, whatever words or semantics you want to put behind your belief system, way of forcing me to integrate who I was, to walk my talk, to learn how to walk my talk, metaphysician, heal thyself, and how to become whole in many ways. And that was the beginning of me coming out of the closet, as I call it, and going professional, as I was consulted by many on a kind of off the record personal level. And many well-known psychics would come to me for advice. And eventually I was kind of, as I call it, pulled kicking and screaming out to public events and hired to do what I do for large amounts of people. And once I did that, it just all exploded. And, you know, that was in the mid-1980s. And it's been an adventure ever since.
Well said.
To say the least.
Well said. So you said something in your description here that just tuned in for me about our topic of God faith, when you were mm-hmm. told by the medical profession that they gave you this dreary diagnosis, and you said, no, that's
right.
Not my choice.
I said, how dare you? And that's actually a polite paraphrase of what I said. You know, I just didn't accept it. And I said, how dare you write me off like that? I'm 30 years old. I'm single. I've never had children. I said, how dare you write off my life and consign me to a life of pain, surgery, possible early death, you know, wheelchair? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And I was motivated. And I think, you know, that's a lot of what faith is about. It's an inner knowing from which we pull our strength to overcome our challenges. It is a wellspring from which we are able to face. It is the universal underground tank of gasoline to fuel our vehicle of our body and our soul to move through this crazy, chaotic world gone awry that allows us to find whatever motivation, whatever spirit, whatever enthusiasm, whatever optimism we need to face life's challenges. I think without faith and having just ration or logic, I mean, it would be quite irrational to be optimistic in this world if we took a look at it. You know, it would be irrational to have hope. It would be irrational to try harder, to do better, to overcome, to seek alternative answers and solutions. So I believe that faith is the fire that fuels the best of humanity, that fuels our best scientific discovery, that fuels our best and greatest compassion with each other, our courage to help each other, our persistence to achieve difficult goals or visualized dreams. I do not believe faith has anything to do with religion. many people are introduced to faith through religion in their childhood, and that's okay. It's a way of opening the door to the great mysteries, to the great unknown, to the questions of the universe and how things work and the unseen order of things. But I don't believe faith has anything to do with religious orthodoxy, rules, or politics. I believe it is, as I said, that fuel that fuels us to do better and to achieve more and to overcome.
Right. So is it possible to prove faith? Some people don't believe in faith at all.
No, because if you could prove it, it wouldn't be faith. In other words, if you could prove it, it would be rational, left-brain, Mr. Spock analysis, deductive reasoning, and then it wouldn't be faith because you have a rational, deductive reasoning analysis to prove it. Faith is all about not being able to prove it. It's about jumping off that cliff and knowing, as someone once said, you'll be given wings to fly or soft ground to land on. If you had an analysis of why the aerodynamics would sprout wings from your back and give you flight, it wouldn't be faith anymore. Now it would just be deductive reasoning and Mr. Spock could run the world. I also think that if you need it to be proven, then you have no faith. Because faith is all about believing in that which cannot be proven. That's by very definition what faith is. By believing the definition of belief, by having a sense of comfort or knowing in that which cannot be proven.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are still those people out there who don't believe in faith. They believe that they make it happen. That
and do you know that those people
greater.
Have shorter lifespans?
No.
Science has recently proven, and I can't quote you the study, but I recently heard in the news or read in the news that they have studied people of faith, and we're talking about the average person of faith. We're not talking about, you know, militant extremists here. Mm-hmm. The average person who has faith lives longer and is happier than people who are totally, let's for the sake of reasoning, and my apologies to all neuroscientists out there, left brain thinking of just logic and ration, they have no faith. You know, you're dead when you're dead, and you know, and there is no unseen power or intelligence in the universe, and there is no divine order to things, and it's all about me. Well, you know, I do believe there is there is something negative called blind faith. I mean, I think that using faith as an excuse not to take self-responsibility is an error, is not a wise choice. And I think people can use faith as an excuse not to take responsibility, not to do what they need to do for their lives. The old saying, God helps those who help themselves. You know, it's one thing to have faith. It's quite another thing to be lazy.
Right.
So
what about those
people? You can
have
faith and still take full responsibility for your success in the world in terms of the fact that my business is what my business is, for example, because I built it that way, because I work long hours, or I've had integrity, or I give good customer service, or I've educated myself to really know what I'm doing. My relationship is good because I worked at it, you know? But to just say, well, it'll all work out, and I have faith, and then use that as an excuse to be lazy and not contribute, that's not something I would advise or support, and I don't think that's what faith is meant to be a part of.
Right. I agree with that. So now what about a situation, for example, because we all probably have friends like this. So let's just say somebody wants a relationship in their life, and they're hopeful, and they have faith, and they're optimistic, and, you know, do the things that they feel that they need to do to bring this relationship to them, and it doesn't happen. Then their faith and hope dissolves, and they usually become frustrated and bitter and angry. What then? What would you say to that person?
Well, you know, I think that person has problems that are not about faith. There's a difference between faith and delusion, just like there's a difference between faith and laziness. You can't use faith to mask your own laziness. And also, you know, there is a difference between having faith and contributing to making something happen versus being delusional that something will happen just because you're sitting on a couch wishing for it to happen. It's a problem that I have with a recent, very well-known and popularized retelling of a book a few years ago. Everybody went around saying, oh, I'm just going to wish it and it's going to happen. I'm just going to think positive it's going to happen. And they used it as an excuse to sit on their couch and wish it, but not get out in the world and make it happen, not contribute. I know exactly the scenario you're discussing. I've had many people in the thousands that I've consulted with or taught or guided over the last 2.5 decades who have come to me in just such a position. You asked a great question, Regina, about what about someone who thinks they have faith and wishes and hopes and what they're wishing for. I think you used the expression, the example of a relationship doesn't happen, and then they get bitter and angry and they give up. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with someone who, let's say, has bad things happen to them, you know, and then they give up and they feel like, well, there can't be a God who would let this happen, or, you know, I must be making this up if it's not real, or my life isn't the way I want and faith is a joke because I wish and I pray and nothing happens. You know, and my heart goes out to those experiences and those people, and they surround us. And the problem is that, you know, we think faith is the solution, you know, and it's not the solution. It is the tool. It is, as I said earlier, it is what gives us our strength to keep going, to find a solution, to get off the couch, to try again. In the example you gave me of someone who keeps wanting a relationship and it doesn't happen and she gets bitter, you know, I'd have to look at that person and say, what is the pattern in your life that is being repeated to prevent you from having relationship? You know, I think there's a lot more going on there than something about faith. Just wishing for something to happen without changing your own patterns, your own beliefs. You know, do you believe a happy relationship is really possible? Do you want a relationship, but you also think a relationship is confining and sacrificial? So you have this subconscious push-me-pull-me, you know, going on. Are you putting out an energy of desperation, as so many women do, that's your goal, you're going to have a relationship no matter what? And I think, you know, when we chase something like that as the end, as if that will fulfill us, as if that will fix us, we're never going to get it because we're forced to face what we fear most. And if you fear most being alone or not having a relationship, guess what? It's going to elude you. You know, it's when you are complete within yourself that you can attract that which you seek in another. And if you're at peace with yourself is ironically when you can attract the other. And we're kind of getting off on a sidebar of relationships here, but faith gets blamed. I believed and it didn't happen. When in actuality, it's really where that person was coming from, their motivation, their thoughts, their beliefs, that is perhaps preventing them from either fulfilling their dreams, or maybe it's something that wasn't supposed to happen for them. Maybe it's something that's not good for them. You know, if you are chasing a relationship at all costs, maybe you're a woman that allows yourself to get abused or put into situations of abuse or repression because you think there is no option. But you're willing to settle for that just because you're afraid of being alone or you think you can't take care of yourself in the world. So there's many reasons why things don't happen, and oftentimes we don't know until much later. Sometimes we never know why something didn't happen in our life and what we were saved from. It's like that country western song, you know, I think it's this Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. I can't remember the artist who sings it. But it's about a guy who wished for something that didn't happen, and years later he looks back with the beloved of his life next to him, and he goes, thank God for unanswered prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And we do often learn faith in hindsight, you know, in that case. We learn faith in hindsight. We at the time something is happening, we lose our faith or we don't have faith. And then after a while, we see the divine order of things, or we see how it all turns out, and we're like, oh, that's why I was led here. That's why that didn't happen. That's why I didn't get that job, and I got this job. This job is a lot better. I met my husband, or that's why I didn't go to that doctor. I went to this doctor. You know, this doctor saved my life. I couldn't get the appointment with the world famous whatever, but gee, this local doctor saved my life. So oftentimes it is through experiences that have no explanation that we learn faith after the fact.
Yes. So I want to talk a little bit about faith and how to perhaps build faith. But another component of this is trust. For me, faith and trust go hand in hand, and I'll share an example with you. So there was a point in time that my husband and I were doing meditation, and we kind of had a group of guides and angels that we were working with, and we were meditating initially, I think, on the full moon and on the new moon. And then we were guided to meditate basically once a week on each phase of the moon, on the quarter moons as well. And during that time for me, and this was over a period of several months, my own personal faith and trust increased exponentially. The guidance that we were receiving was always right on how it showed up in my life. You know, suggestions that I was given to implement, I did, and things really changed. So not only did I, my trust and faith in myself, but in terms of guidance and guides and angels and the Creator, but I really then trusted that there was some semblance to this life and some semblance to the universe. So I think another piece that happens for people when they have an experience of broken trust, you know, if someone's betrayed, that's usually a big one when trust is broken. That's difficult because that kind of sends them down that same disbelieving path, like you were mentioning about faith, but trust can be that the same way. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I think when trust is broken, it challenges our faith. But I think that's the very opportunity to go within, to look deeper, as I said earlier. When we face a challenge, a breach of trust, a betrayal, a hurt, what do? We start asking questions. What's the best thing we can do to develop, to evolve, to solve, to find alternatives, to change ourselves? Ask questions. You know, I think that the gift of faith and trust is that it generates and forces us or allows us and helps us to ask the questions we need to ask to better ourselves, to better our situation, or to solve problems. So it allows us to perhaps change the way we're doing things or get the answers we have. You know, as I was listening to you talk about your intuition and your guidance and your faith developing through your regular meditation, absolutely. When people have faith, people that have faith, people who have trust in the divine or who at least, if not the divine, believe that there is a natural order to things, and in the end, all will work out the way it's supposed to, whether you like it or not, are people that I find to be and have more intuition at their hands to use. People that have no faith tend not to have any intuition. So they're missing a great gift of guidance, of efficiency, of cost reduction, of joy in their lives because they have no intuition. So they got to do it the hard way. Whereas those with faith, that faith allows them to believe and to listen to the inner guidance and the inner messages. And the only way we can do that is to take time to listen. When our trust has been broken, we need to go within. We need to find quiet. We need to step aside from the forest for the trees. We need to silence the chatter, the anger, the resentment, the pain, and just listen for the guidance that is within, and have trust or faith that those answers shall be revealed to us. In our noisy, frenetic, constant, I have to check my social media every 30 seconds, there might be a message there type of world, we almost don't allow ourselves 30 seconds to listen. There's always noise. There's the radio, there's the TV, there's the social media, there's the computer, there's music, and all of these things now are on simultaneously. You've got the kids with multiple screens, and their minimized screen or their social media is flashing a new message while their maximized screen that they're supposed to be studying while something else is there. And it's as if chaos is winning because there is no silence. There is no space for us to synthesize the experiences we're having and learn from them. There is no space or silence in which for us to center ourselves and get the answers or the wisdom that we need to guide our lives more peaceably.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I just received when you were talking about that, that faith is the doorway to the heart and mind of God.
I love that. That's brilliant. I love that. And I would add to that the God within you, the goddess within you, the divine within you, that part of you that is genius, that is brilliant. You know, Albert Einstein was brilliant, but he was a very faithful man. He had a very mystical point of view about life and how it worked, you know, and yet he used that to help him in his scientific brilliance. There are many stories of that faith coming together with trust that then brings what I call the God, the divine, the brilliant, the genius to the world, that it can be made manifest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And on that, it's time for us to take a break. I'm speaking to Amara, Reiki master, psychic, and intuitive counselor, who is telling us about faith and how it can be used to change our lives. You can learn more about her services by going to www.thewisdomlight.com. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and I'm speaking with Amara, Reiki master and psychic, who is sharing her perspective on faith in our life. Is it real or not real? So I want to talk a little bit about today's tragedy here in Colorado, because I can only imagine that some people's faith is definitely being tested if they've had a loss of a loved one. But I saw a very, I thought, strong interview this morning on someone whose faith was holding strong. And this was a young guy. One of his friends was shot. And he said, you know, I just don't understand these senseless killings. They make no sense. And, you know, he was very angry. But he said, I believe in God, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm here to pray for my friend and pray for my friend's life. And then they panned out, and there was actually a group of friends together that were all standing in a circle praying together. So there's a fine demonstration of faith. But what can you offer for people whose faith might be shaken today, Amara?
You know, first and foremost, my heart, as does so many others of us, goes out to the families of the victims who themselves are now victims, as I mentioned on my Facebook page this morning, and will struggle for the rest of their lives to make sense out of senselessness and the loss of their children in most cases here, their young children, adult children. There are no words at this stage of the game that can give them what they need today. And the fact that this young man is still choosing not to get angry, but to turn his energy towards intensity of prayer, towards his friends that's been wounded, is important. You know, science has proven those who have been prayed over or sent energy have a higher healing rate than those who haven't. And there are still many people in the hospital. The death count is up to 13 at last count. A 6-year-old girl was the 13th on that list. And there are many more, 50 or more, that were wounded that need healing. And so for all of us to wish them well, to visualize them well and healthy is wonderful. You know, the comment that the young man made, the questioning, is the same question that I have heard every time something like this happens. Why? It's senseless. It makes no sense. Yet I think that if we just give up there, and say it makes no sense, and I move on, and I blind myself to how the world has gone awry and why. I don't think we learn, and I don't think we change, and I don't think we stop these things from happening. You know, I think that the incident this morning and others like it, it's not the first, it's not the last, are meant to make us question why. And I don't mean, because this does make me angry, I know this event will be used by those who have a political agenda for their political issue, and they're going to get on a crusade about it, and that's disgusting to me. But we are meant to question, why are these things happening? I mean, this isn't some, you know, historically violent shooter. He's a highly intelligent young man who apparently is a PhD candidate in neuroscience, interestingly enough, at the University of Colorado in Denver. He's from San Diego. It reminds us that, oh, this isn't something that happened in Colorado. It didn't happen to me in Illinois or in Indiana or Florida. I can push it out of my mind. It reminds me how it reminds us how interconnected we are. You know, something can happen to us locally that is generated by someone from afar who is here locally. We are interconnected in this world. Secondly, we must ask ourselves why these things happen. We must analyze our society. Joseph Chilton Pierce was a wonderful, wonderful scientist and author. And in his book, Evolution's End, he talks a lot about how we have changed literally the neurology of our brains and the sensitivity or desensitization to violence, and why people become violent seemingly irrationally and why others become desensitized to the violence. There are a lot of things we can look at in our society that are, I think, at play in contributing to these events. So when a tragedy like this happens, I think it's meant for us to learn, not to politicize, not to crusade, but to learn.
I agree. Absolutely. It's definitely the greater lesson of, you know, how can each one of us change and be aware and, you know, to help other people who might need help.
And for those that, you know, it's not far. I mean, my daughter told me today that her friend's friend was killed last night or this morning. It touches us more closely than we think. I still remember Columbine. My daughter's school was put in lockdown because they were in a 5-mile radius. She was only in kindergarten then. You know, these things are recalled to us, and they have happened repeatedly, and we emblazon them on all of the news. And we lament them, but I haven't seen us learn from them in the last 20 years. I haven't seen us change our ways, our patterns, the way we raise our children, the media we expose them to, the attitudes that we have, our sensitivity to those who do need help or mental help because it's politically incorrect to perhaps point it out or to do something about it. So we're not learning, and as long as we don't learn, we'll keep being forced to go back to the same classroom.
Right.
And that's something that we as individuals and as a society must do. But individually, certainly in this case personally, we can extend our hearts and our compassion to those who were personally and are being personally touched by this, and certainly pray and have faith that those who are wounded will heal and can heal and can recover fully from this, because that's what they need right now. The analysis will come later. What the folks need now that have been touched by this is our best wishes, our best prayers, our best intentions, that they heal, that they recover, they find peace and wholeness in this tragedy.
Yes, most definitely. It's time for me to close the show, but I want to end with what just came to me a few minutes ago, that faith is the doorway to the heart and mind of God and to the divine within you. Amara, thanks so much for being on the show today. It's been wonderful and enlightening, and I just love how you are able to connect the dots for us.
Oh, bless your heart, Regina. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with someone who's such a responsible and conscious host.
Oh, thank you. And for more information about Amara's services, you can go to thewisdomlight.com. And remember, she's offering a 10% discount to my listeners.